United States have officially labelled Russians war criminals over actions taken in Ukraine targeting civilians. With Russians bunkering down in some places and their economy taking heavy hits from certain economic measures, how much longer can the conflict last? Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is freelance journalist and author Sean Britton. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts, and you as of Ed, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. Latest on Ukraine this week, the United States has officially declared that Russians have committed war crimes in Ukraine by using unrestrained violence, following reports that Russian forces have deliberately targeted places where civilians are taking shelter. Russian forces do appear to be stalled in some areas, adopting defensive postures rather than advancing. Ed, what's going on?
Well, I think there are three things going on here. Let's start with what the Russian troops are doing. They've been pushed back away from Kiev to a very important town. They were pushed out of that town, and it looks like they are running very low on supplies and ammunition. Meanwhile, the Ukrainians have captured so much Russian ammunition that they're turning it against them, including some of their offensive weapon systems. So that's one thing. And I think for Putin, this begins to smell like defeat. Mm. I think the Russian army, having lost even today another colonel in the central command in the Ukraine, is going to have to figure out that quitting now is better than continuing. The second thing that's going on is that the United States really has no right to call anybody a war criminal, given the fact that the United States has not signed any of the conventions. Even though we led the war crimes trials, the United States is not going to be sanctioned anytime soon for war crimes. Third, I think it draws Putin further away from the table. If he thinks that somebody's going to march in and have a trial and convict him of war crimes, he's going to commit one, like an atomic weapon. So I don't think that's a very smart move on the part of the United States.
Yeah, you mentioned there with the United States. I don't know if the United States have deliberately targeted civilians in the past, but some of their shock and awe tactics have not been shy about creating civilian casualties.
No, I think these are deliberate. This is exactly what they did in Syria. Ooh. And they also use chemical warfare in Syria. So the Russians are, in fact, violating the law, but they've already been referred to the criminal court in The Hague. So I think the U.S. should be quiet about this and let the court do its work.
Mm. You and I were discussing yesterday, is this really the best Russia has got? You know, after years of being this kind of boogeyman with a bloated military budget that bankrupted the country, we knew the bear had more bark than bite, but militarily, this has been a pretty pathetic showing from Russia.
Yeah, this is, first of all, the military planning seems to have been really awful, staging those troops in Belarusia for several months ahead of the invasion, giving the United States and other allies time to arm themselves. Secondly, I just saw the tactics that they were using, putting all their tanks on the single lines on the street, that a three-year-old will tell you, hey, this is no good. If I knocked out the first tank, I've knocked them all out. Mm. So the tactics have been terrible. They have not been able to get air superiority, despite the fact that the Ukrainians have practically no air force. This is bizarre. And lastly, this cannot be their best. Most of the troops captured are under 25 years old. And they're conscripts with little training. The Russians do have an army. Are they holding that someplace in Siberia, waiting to come in? I suspect they are. They're scared shitless that if they put their best people into this and start a shooting war, and NATO would then come in ready because they're up against the best, and the best would wage a war that crossed borders. So I think he sent these kids out there thinking they could do the job, and he's holding back his best people.
It's interesting what you say with NATO there, because Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky this week took, a bit of a swipe at NATO, saying NATO should either say now they're accepting us or openly say they're not accepting us as they are scared of Russia, which is true. And NATO have recently considerably increased the number of troops in this conflict. But what do you make of it, Ed? I mean, NATO won't have much purpose if they're unable to stand up to Russia.
This is real catch 22 here. Had he been begging for NATO's help down on his knees, his own people would not feel the fire in his belly and think he's a coward. So he's really standing up saying, hey, I'll fight this fight alone if I have to. That gives his own people guts and courage. And that also puts pressure on the West to give better, stronger, and better arms, which is happening, and more volunteers coming in from the West. So I think this Zelensky is a great actor, and his act is better than any show in town right now. Mm-hmm. He's getting it both ways. And he's telling Putin, I will not go into NATO if you will back out of this war. So Putin has no stage presence in his own country, even. That fake rally he had looked fake. So I think the war in terms of propaganda is being won by the Ukrainians, and the war in terms of bullets seems to be, at this moment, being won by Ukrainians.
Again, on the US response, the US has stripped Russia of its favored nation trade status, suspending normal trade and paving the way for Biden to introduce higher tariffs on Russian goods. It, what's the significance here?
Almost nothing. The Russian goods that come into the United States are replaceable from other sources. So it doesn't mean a whole lot. But for Russia, it means that we're increasingly a pariah state, because when the US takes that action, the US allies take similar actions. Russia is quietly kept, was making very good headway in the US backyard, Latin America, Venezuela, et cetera. That's gone very, very quiet now. So if Russia wants to get coal from Brazil, it's not gonna happen. And Russian rubles won't buy anything in Argentina. So I think the problem with this blockade or sanctions is it becomes a rolling thing, and it's rolling over Russia with Putin having no place to turn.
Speaking of which, Joe Biden is in Europe this week on a four-day trip partially aimed at keeping the pressure on Russia. Ed, what's the motivation here?
Zelensky. Zelensky has made it impossible for him not to be Johnny on the spot. He cannot afford to be overshadowed by Zelensky, because the right wing is saying he's weak and can't get anything done, and he's afraid of Putin. It's the very guys who are cuddling up to Putin not that long ago when Trump was in. Zelensky, as I said before, has got a great act. The best thing I've seen since Churchill.
Meanwhile, on the home front, Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson has faced grilling over her qualifications for the position. Even in a point-scoring exercise, though, I've got to say, Ed, This one felt flat. Nothing, you know, I think, is landing in a big way.
This is just a show. They only need one Republican vote. And they probably have that from one of the women senators. They don't think they even need Manchin for this. It might get, you know, 6, 8, or 10 Republican votes. The Republicans are solidly in control of the Supreme Court. And sometimes if you go for more, you get less.
One of the weirder moments in this kind of quizzing had to be Ted Cruz asking Jackson about critical race theory, an academic concept Jackson said she knew nothing about and which doesn't pertain to law in the slightest. Again, this is a point-scoring exercise. Republicans see critical race theory as a great scare for conservative voters. But the fact Cruz felt happy asking such an inane question really underlines the ultimate problem, I think, that Republicans will have with Jackson, a black woman, heading to the Supreme Court.
Anybody that Biden put up would have the same problems.
No, I don't disagree there.
So, and the problem for Biden is he said he put up a black woman. And so Republicans think this is a black deal and a women's deal, and they got to be against it.
And now on the weather, a record heat wave in Antarctica has brought with it snowfall, rain and melt. One researcher in polar meteorology has said this was something that wasn't thought to be possible until it actually happened. It was never observed before, and the atmosphere patterns that led to it happening were just not thought to be possible either until it happens. This is, I guess, the new normal, Ed.
Yeah, it does. New Orleans has just had a tornado, of all things, after having hurricanes and cyclones and whatever. It's hard to imagine the weather as an enemy, isn't it? The weather is something that's supposed to be good sometimes and bad other times. It's just bad, 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 bad now. Who knows whether this is a cycle or whether it's a permanent, you know, altering the tables. But when those polar caps start melting, I hope you live on high ground.
I suspect if the weather is going to become an enemy of ours, it's going to say, well, you started it. You were the ones who started it in the first place.
Yeah, well, we started it all. I mean, I tell all my friends I'm guilty. I was born during the war or just before the war. In fact, I was born in 1938, which means that's when the war started. And then after the war, we decided to make things better. And anything we could build on, anything push, any mineral we could mine, any ore we could take out of the ground, anything we could drive, we did it for progress, not for advancement. And progress is now eating us up.
And I just wanted to touch on the situation in the UK with Boris Johnson. I mean, for one, the Prime Minister was accused of buffoonery during remarks by Chancellor Rishi Sunak on Ukraine this week. But surely Johnson must get accused of buffoonery on a daily basis. The man is, by nature or design, an absolute buffoon. Now, obviously, there's been a lot going on with Johnson. None of it. He's not having a particularly good run. What's the latest across the pond, Ed?
This is a particularly difficult and delicate thing. When you call the head of a nation, an ally nation, an equivalent nation, a buffoon, that's putting down the whole nation. And I think this was an attempt to do just that, to say this nation is no longer part of Europe. It's too weak and too stupid. And your leader Is this an example of that?
If it helps our UK listeners, if anyone was offended, you know, they can always get in touch with me. I'll have some pretty unfavourable things to say about our own glorious leader as well here in Australia.
Yes, yes, our Australian leadership here has seen better days.
A couple more things before I let you go, Ed. Firstly, pro-Trump group, the US Election Integrity Plan, have been sending members a gun strapped to their hips, some with sort of meaningless badges, showing meaningless badges to kind of give the appearance of authority. They've been sending them door to door in areas derided by Donald Trump's false election fraud claims, quizzing people about how they voted, taking photos of their homes, and falsely accusing random people of casting fraudulent ballots. Ed, if this is not voter intimidation, I don't know what is.
It is exactly that, but since the Democrats don't have anything really to run on now, they can run on that. Fear campaigns like that bring out Black voters. Don't make us mad. We'll come after you. And there's more of us than there are of you. And the suburbs will not tolerate this. What the Republicans are doing, they're suppressing their own vote.
And finally, Ed, Madeleine Albright, first female Secretary of State, has died at the age of 84. Came to the United States as an 11-year-old political refugee from Czechoslovakia, fleeing the Nazis, and broke her way into the male-dominated, at the time almost exclusively male, world of foreign relations. Hugely influential figure. Any thoughts?
Yes, you said most of it in terms of the accolades. I don't think I've heard anyone take a swipe at Madeleine Albright. They might disagree with her, but they haven't said she's petty or dumb or lacked political nous or courage and conviction. And she was not a partisan. She felt she could say anything she wanted anytime with respect to international affairs, where she was the expert. A bit younger than me, but sometimes these tough jobs bring you down early.
Ed and I will be back, hopefully, with some better news next week. Make sure to subscribe wherever you find the podcast and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.